This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Boy, what a lot in the news. Should Christine Blasey Ford show up if Trump and the GOP refuse to get the FBI involved? This whole debate around this, and, you know, should she show up? I mean, she has a whole variety of options, including just cutting a deal with some big news person. You know, sit down with Lester Holt, like Donald Trump did, and, you know, do the interview for all of America to see. Or sit down with a female journalist. You know, Barbara Walters is no longer doing this kind of thing, but there, you know, there's a number of high-profile women who are in journalism as well. Sit down and you know, discuss these issues, number one. The Republicans, by the way, are raising the stakes on this. I'll get to that in just a second. Also, all these dead animals in North Carolina. North Carolina has this extraordinarily huge hog farm industry that is owned by a Chinese company, dumping mind-boggling amounts of blood and pus and poop and, yeah, just, you know, hundreds of millions of gallons of this stuff now spreading all over the state as a result of this giant storm. This happened back a decade and a half ago, with Hurricane Floyd, and in 1999, and they, you know, apparently nobody learned from it. The Chinese company just decided to jack up their profits. DeRay Kesson is going to be with us in the second hour, and get your questions about pot ready, because Angela Baca, a marijuana expert, is going to be with us in the third hour of our program today. So that's what's coming up. Let me start out with just a quick conversation or rant or whatever, and feel free, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this too. You know, what's the best option for Christine Ford, Dr. Christine Ford? Jennifer Rubin in today's Washington Post points out that this concerns attempted rape. That's a whole jump over the fence beyond Anita Hill's assertion that Clarence Thomas was basically harassing her, making her uncomfortable, making sexually suggestive comments to her. Trying to rape somebody is just, I mean, that's a whole huge step larger. And trying to rape somebody is a crime. Arguably, what Clarence Thomas did to Anita Hill at the time probably could not have been prosecuted as a crime. Perhaps today it could be, but because it took place in the workplace. But more likely, it would end up being workplace arbitration kind of thing. But this is an actual crime. And the FBI investigated her claims, Anita Hill's claims, within 3 days. It took that total, from beginning to end, it took 3 days for them to investigate Anita Hill. They could investigate Christine Ford, Dr. Christine Ford, in 2 days. Just assign 50 or 100 FBI agents to it. No big deal. Easily done. You know, we could get to everything that's going on, find out what's going on. And in this case, unlike the Anita Hill case, in this case, there's a witness. And this witness is this guy named Mark Judge. David K. Johnston just reposted a tweet, or at least, a Facebook post, by a fellow by the name of Eric Ruyak, R-U-Y-A-K. I'm probably mispronouncing it, but that's his name. And you can find it, presumably, on Facebook. He says, funny bit of full circle nonsense. For those of you who don't know, I went to Georgetown Prep, where both Kavanaugh and Gorsuch went as well. And he's talking about Mark Judge, who's the guy who was in the room with Kavanaugh when Kavanaugh tried to rape Dr. Ford. And he says, when I came forward with allegations regarding Gary Orr, a former priest sexually assaulting me, Mark Judge, this is Kavanaugh's friend, in this despicable story of sexual assault, reached out to alums saying that Gary Orr was a great priest and I'd obviously been corrupted by liberalism into a homosexual, and therefore I was most definitely lying. Then years later, when Orr admitted to raping a whole cadre of children, he said that Orr was raping kids because of the unchecked liberalism at Prep, and that otherwise, and that regardless of whether or not I was telling the truth, I was a homosexual and had it coming. This is what Mark Judge, the guy who's the witness, apparently. Google Mark Judge Gary Orr, O-R-R, and you will see what an effing loon this guy is and with what malice he writes his right-wing BS. So for me, to hear this SOB is involved in the allegations of Kavanaugh attempting to rape a girl in high school comes as no surprise. It's always the loudest, most arrogant voices who are trying to hide the truth beneath the din of their own pompous voices. And by the way, the story that this woman is telling is one that I know is repeated dozens of times in my 4 years at prep. So maybe he should be in a press conference as well. Meanwhile, remember Tiger Mom? Amy Chua, however she says it, it's spelled C-H-U-A. She wrote this book, this Tiger Mom book, and became incredibly famous for that. She is a consultant, maybe a professor at Yale Law School, she and her husband. They're a big deal there, this Tiger Mom woman. And she has been prepping people who want to be clerks for federal judges, including Brett Kavanaugh. This is the story by Stephanie Kirschengessner and Jessica Glenza in The Guardian today. Top professor at Yale Law School, who strongly endorsed Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh as a mentor to women, privately told a group of law students last year that it was, quote, not an accident that Brett Kavanaugh's female law clerks all, quote, look like models and would provide advice to students about their physical appearance if they wanted to work for him. Amy Chua, a Yale professor who wrote a best-selling book on parenting called Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, was known for instructing female law students who were preparing for interviews with Kavanaugh in ways they could dress to exude a model-like femininity to help them win a post in Kavanaugh's chambers. One woman told The Guardian, he told me, this is Jeb Rubenfeld, who is the husband of Tiger Mom Lady, who also is an advisor to students at Yale. In one case, Jeb Rubenfeld, also an influential professor at Yale, who is married to Chua, told a prospective clerk that Kavanaugh liked a certain look. He told me, "You should know that Judge Kavanaugh hires women with a certain look," the woman told The Guardian. Be interesting to see some, pictures of the women that work for Kavanaugh. Is it true? Does he just hire attractive women? Don't know. And then Chuck Grassley's top staffer in this area basically threatens Dr. Ford that she could go to prison. This is bizarre. It's absolutely bizarre. Chuck Grassley keeps saying that Mark Sumner is writing about this over at the Daily Kos. Chuck Grassley keeps pretending, Mark Sumner writes, that he's making things easy for Dr. Ford. The Republicans are doing everything they can to raise the stakes, build the pressure, and paint Brett Kavanaugh as a victim. And Greg Sargent retweeted a tweet from Mike Davis. This is Chuck Grassley's chief counsel for nominations in the Senate. He writes, the tweet is just breathtaking. He says, "I personally question Judge Kavanaugh under penalty of felony and 5 years in imprisonment if he lies. I'm still waiting to hear back from the accuser's attorneys who can't find time between TV appearances to get back to me. Unfazed and undetermined, we will confirm Judge Kavanaugh," tweets Mike Davis. So obviously they have no preconceptions and they're eager to make a good faith effort, right? No, they're trying to scare the hell out of her. They're saying, essentially, if her testimony doesn't align with Kavanaugh's, someone's going to jail. And by the way, we're going to confirm Kavanaugh anyway, so he's not the one going to jail. They are absolutely determined that there will be no other witnesses, and they're doing everything they can. Now, Mike Davis has protected his Twitter account, so you can't see the tweet, but you can see Greg Sargent's retweet of it. And you can see the article by Mark Sumner over at Daily Kos about this. So what should she do? If you were Dr. Ford, what would you do? How do you think this should be handled? I'll get into my rant about the hog farms in a little while. We'll be right back, though, with your calls and more of the news of the day right after this.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
15 minutes past the hour. Back with more of the news and your calls right after this. And welcome back. Jordan in Durham, North Carolina. Hey, Jordan, thanks for watching us on Free Speech TV. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. I know I watch you every day, but I have a question. I have a question to ask you.
Go for it.
What do you think that I personally think that Kavanaugh's accuser should testify. Do you think she should testify?
I'm not sure. I really don't know, Jordan. I, if she's if she's capable of going in there and basically refusing to ask, answer their questions and speaking her truth and putting them on the defensive and putting the Senate, the Republicans in the Senate, on trial, then she absolutely can do it. If she can go in and talk like Michael Avenatti, you know, and just like really go after them. On the other hand, if she's the kind of person who's easily cowed by, you know, major authority figures, maybe she shouldn't. I don't know her. I don't know how she speaks. I don't know what she has to say. So it's hard to guess. That make sense?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Jordan. Good to hear from you, and I appreciate the call. Margo in St. Augustine, Florida. Margo, your thoughts?
It's been a long time, and I'm going to tell you, I record your show, but sometimes I don't get to watch it till midnight. I first wanted to say about Orrin Hatch, and they did I think it was Rachel Maddow did the before and after,
mm-hmm.
with the repeating of the same phrase, but changed it for this particular lady. The thing I wanted to really ask you was, how can you be pro-life and pro-gun? Because guns kill people. That's the only reason we have them, unless you're shooting for deer or whatever.
For food or for sport, yeah.
Yeah.
I
have a
or for self-defense.
It's totally crazy. I know it. But take guns away from everybody. If you take them out of your home, you're arrested. It's not going to happen, but it would stop an awful lot of crime, and it's totally out there, I know.
Yeah. No, I think that some rational steps need to be taken, and I'm all in favor of something like a gun buyback program. But as a starting point, and I've been saying this for years, I don't know why we don't. This would even comply with the Heller decision, which I think was a BS decision. But to say that we're going to treat guns the same way we treat cars, and you have a theoretically a right to transportation. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. It says Congress can tax to build roads, right? Postal roads, they call them. And so you have a right to drive a car, but you have to have a driver's license. In other words, you have to demonstrate that you know what you're doing and how to use the car without killing other people. You have to have liability insurance, so if you do harm somebody else, they're covered. The car has to be registered from the time it's manufactured until the time it's destroyed. We should do the exact same thing with guns. Guns need to be registered from creation to destruction, and that registration follows a chain of ownership. The gun owners should have to get a shooter's license to prove that they know what they're doing and what and how they're doing it. And they should be required to have liability insurance in case one of their kids gets a gun and accidentally shoots somebody or whatever.
Florida, we have a thing on our insurance for uninsured motorists.
Right.
So we can be covered.
Right. Yeah, you need something for uninsured gun owners. That's a good point. Thank you, Margo. That's an excellent point. We'll be back with more of your calls and the news of the day right after this. Stick around. Welcome back. So, what should Christine Blasey Ford do? And, I was going to do my hog farm rant. Actually, I'm going to do that real quick, and then we'll get to your phone calls, okay? You got 3.5 million chickens, maybe tens of thousands of hogs who are killed in Florence's flooding. This is the hurricane that just hit North Carolina. And it turns out that the major hog operations in North Carolina, and this is something I think most people don't realize, and of course it's never reported in the media, are owned by a company based out of Virginia called Smithfield Foods, which is now owned by a company based out of China called WH Group. China uses a lot of pork. And this from a piece in Pacific Standard by Emily Moon. She writes, after consolidating the industry in the early 2000s, Smithfield secured a monopoly on North Carolina and beyond, pushing out small farmers, outsourcing hog raising to beleaguered competitors, and restructuring the industry around large operations and even larger profits. Locals who once showed their pigs at state fairs were replaced with vast, profitable operations, well documented for their abuses and risks. The farms are known in the industry as confined animal feeding operations, or CAFOs. With millions of hogs, she writes, comes a lot of waste. In these giant operations, feces, urine, and anything else that seeps beneath pens' slatted floors. Stillborn pigs, afterbirths, pesticides, blood form a liquefied slurry, which is then pumped into open earth pits known in the industry as lagoons. Smithfield's lagoons cover 120,000 square feet, run 30 feet deep, according to Rolling Stone. That's dangerously close to the low coastal plain, which was the water table, this low coastal plain, which was once entirely wetlands. The pools contain a toxic brew that turns Pepto-Bismol pink, farmers say, from its contents. Chemical interactions includes, when ingested, health hazards include higher risks of cancer, miscarriage, and infectious disease. And right now, if you go into one of these places and take pictures, you go to prison because of these anti-terrorism laws. The terrorists, of course, being people who are trying to expose what this Chinese company is doing in North Carolina with these hogs. So, anyhow, I think that, number one, we didn't have giant hog operations 40, 50 years ago because the population of the United States was about two-thirds of what it is now. You know, we hit, as I recall, we hit 200 million back in the 1980s. We're 340 million people now. So as our population has grown, our demands for meat have grown substantially. But if all of us just ate half as much meat, or even a quarter as much meat, A, we would be healthier, and B, these giant farming operations, to the extent that they're not being used to ship pork back to China, these giant operations could be scaled back to factory farms. We could go back to factory farms and break up some of these giant industry operations, which I think would be more humane, less hard on the planet, less hard on the local communities in North Carolina, and we would all be healthier as a result. So, my thoughts on that. Candida in Seattle, listening on our Pacifica affiliate there, 91.3 FM. You have some thoughts on Dr. Ford?
Yes, good morning. I absolutely, which is easy for me to say because I'm not in her shoes, but I absolutely think and hope that she will stand her ground and continue. I consider her a hero for what she's doing. I can't imagine how, on all the different levels, how hard this must have been for her to come forward. For one, to have to relive the trauma, which must be immense. And then also, of course, the impact that she predicted, which is now coming true, which is that she's got death threats and has had to move, and the impact on her family. So
yeah, not just her, but her husband and her kids as well. I mean,
exactly.
it's just rolling right across. The right-wing trolls are going after everyone.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not, you know, I'm sure she saw this coming and she decided to come forward anyhow. So I hope that she will continue to stand her ground. But, I've been listening to you for a long time, your program, and I've been listening this week and hearing callers also call in and some people minimizing it, relating it to the statute of limitations and innocent until proven guilty. And it's just...
I think those are callers who are being paid by the Republican Party, frankly. Or people who are just, tuning around SiriusXM or other places, listening to right-wing radio and thinking, well, we'll call into the progressive show. But Candida.
I would ask, what can we do to support her, to reach out to our leaders in Washington to let them know that we want an investigation?
The main thing that you can do right now to support her is to call every single senator on that Judiciary Committee, starting with Grassley and Feinstein. And that would be the first thing to do. The number is 202-225-3121.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
We'll be back with more of your calls, the news of the day, and my thoughts on all of the above right after this. Tom Hartman here. Here's what you missed on our program today. Climate change will kill more people than even George W. Bush did. Two-thirds of Afghanistan's provinces are experiencing a drought. In Texas, multiple cities are reporting runs of 5 or 6 days in a row with temperatures over 100. More than 30,000 people in Japan have been hospitalized for heat stroke. In Sweden, 44 wildfires. They're asking all of Europe for help. Heat records are being broken all over. Denver, Los Angeles, Montreal, Glasgow, Scotland, Shannon Ireland, Belfast, Northern Ireland, and many locations in Russia, including Siberia. You got boiled bats in Australia. In Zurich, in Switzerland. The police have put special shoes on their police dogs to prevent them from burning their paws on the scorching streets. Across Europe, forest fires are causing major damage. 92 people died in Greece. In the Banach Peninsula, inside the Arctic Circle, it hit 89.6 degrees Fahrenheit. There are over 700 wildfires burning in North America. From Canada, from the Arctic Circle to Mexico is on fire because of climate change. Go to tomhartman.com/podcast. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you. Just a quick mention, we've got this cruise coming up in July of next year, and that is being done in cooperation with our Chicago affiliate, WCPT. And a number of cabins have already gone, and this is going to be the main point. This is an Alaska cruise, but it's a small ship, very intimate. Only total occupancy of the entire ship is only 700 people. And Louise and I will be there, and we're going to be involved in pretty much everything that goes on. So it should be fun. Another point that I wanted to make, and then I'll pick up your phone calls here. This is reporter Muggsy tweeted this to me and says, this is interesting. He's tweeting tweeting a story from USA Today. From World War II through the 1970s, the income of the bottom 99% grew at triple the rate, three times, 300% faster than the top 1%. Since Reagan, the income of the bottom 99% has only grown 15%, while the top 1% grew at 216%. Absolutely amazing. Patrick in Seaside, California. Hey, Patrick, what's on your mind today?
Greetings from a Brussels country.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I've been just juggling this in my brain this whole time. Based on your point about Judge Kavanaugh and the whole dress code for the women that he likes to employ when he was a judge back whenever that was in whatever district that was. And I just think that we have so many conflicting... I'll just admit it right up front. I'm a proud hetero male who likes, you know, porn and likes attractive women, but who, as a progressive, supports all of humanity, including the LGBTQ, etc.
What's your point,
community.
Patrick?
And what I'm saying is...
You're saying that the men should have
to hire
women based on how they look rather than how qualified they are?
No, but what I'm saying is we as progressives seem to always have to come up against, well, what about the women that dress for Dennis Hopp's, you know, Bunny Ranch,
yeah.
You know? And what I'm saying is it seems like we as progressives and liberals have to explain to troglodyte conservatives that women who are, say, in the adult entertainment industry are dressing appropriately for that, and that women that go into any different job category most likely will know where, you know, what's acceptable and different.
Yeah, I think it's just bizarre that this... I got it, Patrick, thank you. I think it's just bizarre that we've got this woman at Yale who is offering fashion advice to people who want to be on Kavanaugh's staff. That's pretty amazing. Mark in Valley, Washington. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Well, I think that she should get her attorney to maybe find one or two other women that can corroborate hearing about the story or knowing about it, and do like an Avenatti media blitz, because
yeah,
they're going to push him through no matter what. The only recourse is to maybe get him...
I'm thinking that might be your best option, too, would be to say, okay, you know, if you're not going to put the... And see, her attorney shouldn't have to find those other people. That should be the job of the FBI. I think, though, that if she were to say to the Senate, you know, if you guys are not going to do an FBI inquiry, I'm not going to do your song and dance, or I'm going to turn it against you, and I'm going to do a huge media blitz on this thing, and I'm going to take my case to the American people. I just don't know if she has the personality to do that. I mean, that taking on literally the entire Republican establishment, about 25% of America, and the billionaires behind it, is going to be a real challenge, Mark. it's going to be a real big challenge. RJ in San Jose, listening on AM 910. Hey, RJ, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I wanted to just weigh in on the reaction to the accusations. I represent sexual harassment plaintiffs in the workplace, and I'm just, you're getting this whole, this particular way of thinking about, you know, the way, well, like, why didn't she come sooner, et cetera. And it to me just represents, it's a very, very particular way of thinking, which is just, you know, old white entitled male thinking that listens to a complaint that way. But and it happens in sexual harassment complaints all the time.
Like, I absolutely agree. But and the reality is that the 11 Republicans on this panel that will be judging what she says and what Kavanaugh says are old white men. Back
yeah,
to you,
I wanted to say one more thing about that, because it's funny. I don't just represent sexual harassment plaintiffs. And once in a while, you know, a couple times a year, I'll get a whistleblower claim. And a lot of times it's an older white male, because they know the ropes and they know what's going on. Mm-hmm. But it's funny, they have exactly the same fears. They have exactly the same reaction. They have exactly the same response, right? It's sort of a reflexive suspicion of them, because they're ratting out the tribe, right? So they're just as afraid to come forward, right?
Yeah.
But you would never hear, say, a Republican say, well, we should be suspicious of that guy because, you know, geez, you know, who knew, right? And it's been 5 years, right? It's always about somebody who isn't part of the example of the conventional thinking, conventional wisdom.
Yeah.
It's always a woman or a person of color.
Well, it's almost like it's a club. I mean, Louise walked into work with me this morning as she's answering the phones today, and because Shira's training on the board with Sean, and she was telling me that when she was in high school, she went to a rather upscale high school, public high school in East Lansing, you know, where Michigan State is, and East Lansing High School had a, you know, there was a large contingent of low-income kids. Most of them came from a low-income project called Tower Garden. But there was also all these kids from something estates. I'm forgetting the first word, and my apologies to Louise for that. But there were these rich preppy kids, and she was like, all the girls, you know, we all knew who were the guys who would try to sexually assault you, and they were always the jocks. It was always the rich preppy kids. They were the ones that we had to worry about, and you know, there was a little network of hey, look out for so and so. And she said, you know, and her thought was, if the FBI actually gets involved and goes back and starts interviewing some of their classmates, they're going to hear these stories. And that's probably why the Republicans don't want the FBI involved, why the Republicans are fighting bringing in the FBI tooth and nail. And the FBI did this entire investigation on Anita Hill in 3 days. They put like 100 agents on it. They could do the same thing right now. So,
Last thing, Tom, about this. I hope that at some point or other, this again fuels or engenders a conversation about how we raise boys, because I tell you what, it starts then, and it, at some point, you know, boys don't necessarily, I believe, think they're entitled to chattel, but at some point or other we all become conditioned in a little way to thinking that and have to resist it or have to deal with it, and it's a pernicious conversation.
Yeah. I think it's partly parenting, but it's larger. It's the overall culture as well, and we all have a role in changing that. RJ, thank you for the call. Marta in Big Bear Lake, California. Hey, Marta, your thoughts?
Yes. I want to say our democracy is in great peril.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a preview screening of Fahrenheit 11/9. Michael Moore is provocative, to say the least. The documentary was stunning. He sees the big picture and also the complexity, the forest and the trees, and I hope that we all can have some passionate conversations. I think a lot of people who can't see complexity will have their heads explode, but I hope that we can see the big picture, and I think your program is the best, but we're all on the same side. The fascists want to conquer and divide, and I hope we can not bicker, but, you know, keep talking. I think there's a lot more factors than just race, I would say, trade, and the foreclosure crisis.
Yep. Thank you, Marta. Yeah, Bill Maher's show tomorrow night will have both Michael Moore and me, so it's going to be fun. It'll be interesting to see Michael Moore again after a lot of years. And I have this movie is just amazing, the Fahrenheit 11/9 that's coming out. So check that out. We'll be back with your conversations about Dr. Ford in just a moment.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
And also about hog farms and things. I mean, I think that's a pretty big deal, you know, the way that we're producing our food. It's crazy. And welcome back. I'm not hearing myself. There we go. Welcome back. Heather in Seattle, listening on our Pacifica affiliate, KBCS. Hey, Heather, what's up? Heather, you are on the air. There
Hello?
We go. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, great. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I would really like to see women get out immediately and do a second women's march.
Mm-hmm.
Every woman I know has had to deal with something like this in their past. And the men that did this did it at a young age or an older age. They knew that they had the power. And they knew that women are in a vulnerable position. Women have had it.
Hmm.
I think this is going to kickstart a huge backlash against the GOP, but also against the far-right Christians, too. Women are seeing their rights and their agency over their own body threatened with this. And what we need is allies of men, like that previous caller who really hit it with, we have to raise boys correctly.
Yeah.
And I think that what the Christian right doesn't see is that this is going to backlash against them. And what men really aren't getting, that this is a really big deal for women. Kavanaugh's appointment is huge to us. And now we have a woman who is putting her, not only her life, but her family's life on the line now.
Yes.
So I'm really, really urging, if any of the leaders of the Women's March are listening, kickstart this again.
Yeah. Yeah, well said. Very, very well said. Thank you, Heather. I appreciate the call. Randy, you're listening to commercial radio. Susie in Eureka, Montana. Hey, Susie, thanks for watching Free Speech TV. What's up?
Hi, Tom. I wanted to speak a little bit about the culture of the college prep boarding schools.
Right.
I had kind of unfortunate life where my folks died when I was 12, and people didn't know what to do with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to a really expensive boarding school in North Texas for 1 year. And it was horrendous. The people there were all from the very ultra-rich, which was new to me. And that's where, it was the 70s, so it was a decade earlier than the boarding schools that we've been hearing about on the news. But
not
the
that
culture
much different.
Was, it was maybe a little more permissive because it was the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where, for instance, you know, I, who had never even considered it, learned to hitchhike in order to get to a liquor store as a 15-year-old and buy booze. Boys and girls were always in the wrong dorms at night. Not me, personally, but the overriding culture was that, you know, it was a warehouse basically for rich people to send their kids to.
Amazing.
And the kids were way out of control compared to the high school I went to in Austin, Texas.
Susie, thank you for sharing your story with us. I have no basis, no reference for it. I appreciate your experience. Welcome back. Linda in Chicago, listening on Chicago's Progressive Talk. Hey, Linda, what's up?
Hey, you had a gentleman caller a while ago, and it really set me off my rocker. Men have to understand one thing. Women in life, through history, have always been taught to be docile, to be quiet, to shut up, to not be listened to completely. I have a husband like that, okay? But I was raped by a sibling. And on my mother's deathbed, she asked me if it was true or not when I had already had told her it was true, questioning me. That's how women were brought up, to not believe women. Women not to believe women. I don't know if it was because they can't handle the truth or they can't accept it. But I want to put a challenge out there towards men, even you, to sit down in your office and a CEO or just a guy who works with women at Target or wherever, to sit down with 5, 6, 1 women and listen to them and say, how are you dealing with this? What can I help you with? Did this happen to you? And I guarantee you, if you have 6 women in there, 2, 3 will raise your hand that they were molested, raped, whatever done to them.
Yeah, I'm guessing it's more like 3 or 4. Yeah. Linda, excellent point. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call and for saying it. Very, very heartfelt. Adela in Los Angeles, listening on KPFK. Hey, Adela. Am I saying your name right?
Hi, Tom. Yes, you're saying it perfectly. Thank you so much. I'm calling because I wanted to touch on the hog situation that you were talking about in North Carolina.
Okay.
First of all, my heart and prayers go out to everybody in North Carolina, everybody out there. But you do have a lot of progressive followers, which is amazing. We have to stick together. Like you said, we have to be very graceful from now on. We can't show our bad side to the Republicans to get our point across. But I also wanted to touch on that because I am a vegan. I didn't grow up vegan. I grew up in a very conservative home. And I'm vegan now for about 2 years. And if you want to do research, whoever's listening, pigs, when they're babies, they're smarter than 3-year-old toddlers. And they are smarter than dogs.
Yep.
So these are incredible, like, little beings, like, little beings that God created for us, not to, like, eat, but to live on this planet with us. And like you said, you're very, very bright. Methane, all these things attribute to, like, a lot of our health issues, if we eat them, to the air, to the pollution of our water. So, like, we're killing ourselves by just, you know, being gluttonous. And we have to do a lot more research. And also, all the people that have these factory farms, they're doing the same thing, that same kind of oppression that we're fighting for now, for, like, black rights, women's rights. When people used to fight for the Holocaust, we are fighting for all these wonderful rights that we deserve, but we're also forgetting the big part of, like, the animals. And it's all connected. And ever since I became vegan, I have, like, a clear mindset, and I realize, like, wow, like, politics, animals, like, all of this connects.
It does. It really does.
Thank you. And I wish everybody would realize this, even if it's one step at a time. Open your hearts to it, and hopefully we can make a better world.
Amen. And eat less meat. Adela, thank you for the call. Yes. Thanks for listening to KPFK in L.A. I appreciate it. Randy in Middleburg, Kentucky. Hey, Randy, thanks for listening to iHeartRadio. What's up?
How's it going, Tom? Well, I lived 32 years in Charlotte, North Carolina, so mm-hmm. I know a little bit about the home state. I was very worried when I heard about Florence slowing down as a Category 1. I knew for a fact that those pigs were going to drown. Because I remember Floyd.
Yeah.
I mean,
and this is the consequence, by the way, of global warming. These storms slowing down and dumping more rain like we saw in Houston with the last one. This is because the jet stream is disintegrating and it's forming these blocking patterns as it drools over North America. Back to you.
Yeah. One thing that a lot of people may not know because it took 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
To get back to normal in the coastal region of North Carolina. That's what we, you know, coastal Piedmont and mountain region of North Carolina, which always surprised me. You know, it's one of those things that you're like, wait, they still haven't 16 of those. Yeah.
Yep, I do. Randy,
I don't know how long it's going to take, man.
It's going to take years. It's absolutely going to take years. Randy, thanks a lot for the call. Peter in Mills River, North Carolina. Peter, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom.
We got a minute to the hour, to the top of the hour here, so a quick one, Peter, please.
Okay, let me just say that this doesn't happen only to women, but when it does happen, I was sexually assaulted when I was like 13 years old by an adult woman, and you remember every detail. It never escapes you. I'm now 77, and I can remember where, when, what was around me, my surroundings. So when they doubt this lady's memory, they're doing a terrible misservice to the whole movement of getting things corrected in this nation.
I agree.
They need to postpone this clown's, his investigation. They need to do a thorough investigation of him, totally.
Yeah, and of her allegations, and also, I think of Mark Judge, his buddy, who brags about, you know, this bizarre machismo that he has apparently pursued his whole life.
Definitely, but they need to do it by either the FBI or I don't know where else.
No, it's the FBI. They have the means to do it, and they also have the legal authority. They can put you in jail for lying to them. So yeah, I'm with you, Peter. Thank you for the call, and we'll continue this conversation. Ray McKesson is going to drop by. That should be fascinating. I'm looking forward to that. And then in our third hour, get your pot questions ready because Angela Baca is going to be with us. Stick around. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.